coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
I don't know, regular bread, is it? No, that's Gary Oldman in that yeast.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
You are such a simp for Gary Oldman.
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
They said it couldn't be done. In fact, some people said it probably just shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Some people left around episode, I don't know, 3 or 4. But fuck them. Here we are, baby. Episode 50 of Huntsville Home Video.
Yeah.
Half of them are Marvel movies.
That's okay.
That's, yeah.
Who cares?
Right? Because we got to Endgame and holy shit, was that emotional.
Whew, that was a lot.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
But here we are. We are still showing movies that my good friend Leanne has never seen. We are Huntsville Home Video. My name is Jack. Across from me, Leanne. Even after we wrapped up all those Marvel movies, you still wanted to see more movies.
I did. I did, actually. I still wanted to come hang out with you every week.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know, man. You've got me so completely converted right now.
I have indoctrinated you into the cult of Jack.
Absolutely. Just me trying to be a little mini Jack, still hopping along.
Man, as soon as I get a fortified compound, game on.
I'll be your recruiter.
All right.
Yeah.
That's legit. Need a fortified compound and a ridiculous amount of Kool-Aid.
Right. I'm a Virgo. I'm very loyal.
Is that a Virgo trait?
I don't know. I was told once it was. I'm not sure. I think so.
Someone told me recently that, you're a Leo. Can I see your lion tattoo? I was like, don't have one. Quit just generalizing people based on their astrological signs, which really don't mean shit.
Right, it doesn't. If you're a shitty person, you're just a shitty person. Yeah. It doesn't matter where the fucking planets are.
Oh, is that your Scorpio? Your piece of shit?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not a thing.
I don't know, but I did have a tryst with a Gemini, and they were a fucker.
Geminis ain't shit.
Right. I also, we have a coworker who, I have to tell this, it's a tangent, but whatever. We're only 2 minutes in.
That's what
we
do.
Who gives a fuck? We have a coworker who was married to a cop at one time, or who's now gotten out of the law enforcement, but she was always talking about being a part of a Leo page. And I was like, why? I never knew she cared about horoscopes. Like, why does she give a fuck if she's a Leo? I was like, I don't think she's a Leo anyway.
Oh, shit, I know where you're going.
And so, like, she's always talking about her Leo group of wives. And I'm like, why do we have freaking Facebook groups with wives who are Leos? Like, isn't she? She's in September. She's a Virgo. Like, I'm like, I can't figure this out. And then I figured out it was law enforcement officers. And
God,
it was a bunch of wives who were married to cops and they had a Facebook group. I did not put it together.
Might be the most adorable Leanne story ever.
Yeah, I was very confused, just silently confused about that whole thing.
Jack, I really like your podcast. I like this Leanne character. She's pretty cool. Could you sum her up in a nutshell? Well, listen to her Leo story
right
on episode 50 of Huntsville Home Video.
Yeah. 50's quite an accomplishment.
Did you think we'd get here even?
I thought we would.
Yeah?
But 100, no.
No.
But halfway, I figured we'd get halfway.
All right.
Yeah.
And actually, I've shown you over 50 movies because we did a couple double features.
We did.
On that one. I have enriched your lives. Your life with over 50 movies, although some of them were kind of shitty.
I get so many references now. It's like so amazing.
I love when I look to Facebook and it says Leanne Foster mentioned you in a comment. I know it's going to be movie related.
I get this now.
Yeah. And I just think to myself, yes, I can communicate with another human being.
We've learned a language.
That's right. And today for episode 50, it is Gary Oldman Appreciation Day.
Gary, 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 Gary.
Anytime we chat about a movie with Gary Oldman, it is automatically going to become Gary Oldman Appreciation Day here in Huntsville Home Video. Because holy shit, do I love Gary Oldman.
You do love Gary Oldman.
Favorite actor.
Mm-hmm.
Love the dude. Fantastic performer. And today we are going to go, we're going to go back, way back, back in time to 1994.
I was four.
You were 4 years old when Leon the Professional came out.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to chat about this very, very cool, very stylish movie, which I believe it is. What do you think of Leon the Professional?
Amazing.
Oh, shit.
Such a good movie.
All right.
I really, really liked it. I loved the world. I loved the characters.
Hell everything. Yeah.
Very good.
What did you think about the cinematography of the movie?
I thought it looked pretty.
It. you should write reviews.
I should write reviews.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was very good. Like, I felt very immersed in the world. Like, it was super good.
I never want to go to New York, like ever.
Right.
But when you film a movie in New York and you shoot it in a particular way, like in this one, they do all those overhead shots. They do those kind of tracking shots where you really get a sense of scale for New York City. You know, you see all these different areas of New York that are shot, I think, just so beautifully.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when they shoot it, you know, kind of ground level and everything's busy, there's that hustle bustle. You're like, this is gross. I don't right. like this. It like, why would anyone want to go there? And then you see those beautiful shots, like when they're on the roof at that one point, and you get the city behind them.
Yes.
I was like, okay, this is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. Absolutely.
Very, very beautifully shot movie.
Mm-hmm.
And phenomenal performances, not just from Gary Oldman, who we will talk about later, but also Jean Reno, who plays Leon the Professional, and the first movie ever for one Natalie Portman.
I didn't know Natalie Portman was acting as a child. Like, I didn't know she was a child actress.
Okay.
Had no idea that her career started that early. And for that, I didn't know it was her first movie until after I had seen the movie. Holy shit, she does a great job.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, out of the gate, good.
Yeah.
Good performer.
Absolutely.
What was the first thing you remember seeing Natalie Portman
God,
in?
I couldn't even tell you. I have no idea. No. I saw her before that. I know I saw her in Black Swan. I remember that movie. I know I've seen her.
You're not Arnold Schwarzeneggering this one?
No, maybe.
I've seen some Arnold movies. Wait, no, I haven't.
Maybe. I don't know. Now I question everything. I don't know who the hell I've seen now. I know I've seen that main guy, Jean Reno, but I have no idea what I've seen him in.
He's been in a lot of stuff. And during that time frame of, you know, that 90s era, he was in quite a bit. He would always show up in different things. But this, absolutely my favorite movie of his. I love this movie for just how cool it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those movies that when it came out, this was kind of the, you know, that Quentin Tarantino era when everyone was just all about him. You know, your Pulp Fictions, they're going back watching The Reservoir Dogs, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Indie movies were really starting to be the thing. Like, if it was made by Miramax at the time, and it wasn't a romantic comedy, chances are you were going to love it.
Right.
If you liked a movie like The Professional.
Mm-hmm.
So super good stuff.
Nice.
I'm glad you had such a good reaction to it.
Yeah, I really like it.
I always, like, as we went on with the Marvel movies, I kind of knew which way you were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're back into the non-MCU stuff, I'm like, okay, I love this. What's Leanne going to think about this?
You should have known the violence would have gotten me over.
I know the violence. I know the violence will win you over, but everything leading up to the violence.
The characters are so great. Like, even Leon is just, like, he's written so well and he's played so well. Like, he's not, like, you know, we'll get through it and he's a hitman, but it's like, he's not your, like, flashy, what you consider cool hitman. Like, he's a man, you know, because
there are hitman movies where they're almost like superheroes themselves. They're just these over stylized, over cool, always throwing out quippy one liners,
charismatic,
right?
You know, handsome, whatever. And it's like, no, this is a real guy.
This is a guy.
Yeah. Everything was real.
This is like a cleaner, like it's a different level than hitman.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, let's get into this so we can start chatting about Gary Oldman.
Okay, let's get to Gary Oldman.
And the rest of the movie.
We got to start at the macaroni company. Was it Supreme Macaroni Company? Is that the business? The camera takes us there after doing those aerial shots of New York. And Leon, which we'll get introduced to him later, but right now you just see him drinking some milk. He drank in that milk with his round sunglasses on.
Zach Kelsey. The round sunglasses, too, that's a look that you got to be very confident to pull off.
You do, but it worked because I hate those. Like, that's very 90s, and I hate them. And, like, they're like the small sunglasses are starting to come back because Kylie Jenner said it was so. Like, she wore them, and everybody's like, ah! So, I hate those, but I was fine with it in this movie.
Yeah.
I did make a note of it here at some point.
There is definitely a lot of 90s style that whenever I watch this movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a thing in the 90s.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Yeah.
Never hopped on that round sunglasses trend, though.
Good.
Couldn't
that
do
doesn't
it.
Seem like you.
Nope.
Please don't ever.
Never will.
No, unless you're being Leon for, like, Halloween or something.
Acceptable.
Right.
But other than that, no.
Also, Natalie Portman's little choker. I remember those being the
things.
Very 90s thing.
Yep. Yep. And even now, when I see a woman of my age that was, you know, kind of, like, grew up in the 90s, you know, if they're a 40-something that rocks a choker, I'm like, thank you for holding on to that look. It's a good look. Don't ever let it go. I'm with it.
I always wanted one. And I wish I could have pulled them off, but I couldn't because you girls always been plump. And, and like, it just didn't look right. You can't have a thick neck and a choker. Like, because then you really are getting choked and there's that indent there. And I couldn't give any more ammo on the playground. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't do it. But that's one thing that I always have held. Like, I'm like you, whenever I see one, I'm like, I wish I could be a part of that.
Right?
Yeah.
What about a slap bracelet? Did you do a slap bracelet?
Yeah, I had those. I had those. And I was trying to get in when I was a teenager on them jelly bracelets. But then that Dr. Phil episode came out where they were like, every color is a different sexual thing that you've done and black being the worst. And I'm like, oh, well, it's great to go through an emo phase right now. That's all I wanted. I was like, can I just get some jelly bracelets? I never could have any.
Here I am listening to My Chemical Romance. I can't let people know that I'm into pegging.
Right. I've never put a penis in my mouth.
Why am I getting all this attention now on the playground?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, and my friend, like, gave me one that I would wear at school only, and then I would take it off before I went home. But it's like, you weren't cool if you just had one. You know, you had to have at least two so you could loop them. Remember that? When you looped them together? You had, like, stacks.
I think I was too old for the jelly bracelet craze.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I didn't have a lot of girls at my school rocking them jelly bracelets.
I just want them to come back. 90s things are coming back.
Yep.
I want those to come back. So fuck a small sunglass. I need the jelly bracelets to come back.
All right.
You know? Anyways.
Now are the color codes going to change because there's so much more openness in the world of sexuality
now?
I'm sure. Well, no. A yellow bracelet used to mean this, but now
but that's
it means
too gender specific.
Yeah.
It's too gender exclusive.
It used to mean that you would do that with a football team.
Right.
But now you do it with the cheerleaders, too.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Everybody gets a chance. This color is non-binary. It doesn't mean anything.
Everyone gets a turn.
Everyone gets a turn. That's its own bracelet in itself.
Right.
Everyone gets a turn. That's what black men, I think. Everybody get a turn.
Man, she's super popular. Just racking up jelly bracelets. My God.
Man. So Leon the Professional?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's
Gary
right.
Oldman Appreciation Day.
He drinking milk and we doing business because we have a problem. This dude is running in on Maurizio's business and Leon needs to take care of it. This guy comes to town every Tuesday. Hey, are you free Tuesday? Yeah, I'm free Tuesday. So he's referred to kind of as this fat bastard, right? And so he heads into his hotel that he comes to every Tuesday, and there's a pretty broad and a briefcase full of dope.
I like the accent you put on that.
I just felt like I will throughout this because I just want to.
All right.
So
I'm here for it.
So Leon is heading up. He gets the guy here gets a radio call in from Tonto. And says, there's a guy here. He's pretty serious. He wants to talk to you. And then Tonto gets killed, which I was a little sad. Tonto. I don't know why I had such a connection to Tonto. Maybe it was just because his name was Tonto. I have no idea.
Just right out of the gate, you're already holding a torch for poor dead Tonto.
Poor Tonto in the elevator. I'm like, oh, rest in peace.
Like, I need his backstory now. Like,
I want
Tonto. I want a prequel about Tonto. Like, how he gets to that point.
I I'd pay for a ticket. I'm not even going to lie. And I know that's so stupid. It's one of the stupidest things I've ever said here. I'd pay for a ticket on Tonto, the beginning.
This has instantly become my favorite review already. Because now I'm going to go home and I'm going to think of a backstory for this fucking
right. You never
doorman.
Thought about it before, but now
nope.
You want to know.
Nope, never.
I got to know.
I'm going to call Luc Besson up today and I'm going to be like, hey, man, have I got an idea for you?
If you don't like that one, here's this one about zombies. See last week's review of Train to Busan. So Tonto die. He dies. And okay.
I'm good. You just really caught me sideways with that one.
Yeah. So the men up in the hotel room in the suite, they get ready and the elevator dings. And like, who are these gangsters? First of all, they just start shooting willy nilly. And it's poor old Tonto just strung up there.
So already you got attached to him, and then you had to witness that indignity.
He died, and then we have to see him strung up like that and then get shot full of holes.
Man.
Oh, man, poor Tonto.
Man, like in the prequel, the Tonto prequel, he's going to have like this real strong love for Swiss cheese. And you're going to be like, no, I know you're going to end up full of bullet holes.
No.
No, Tonto, no.
Destiny fulfilled. Oh, God. Stay away from the Swiss. Stay away. Goodness. So,
hey, what do you want to do with your life, man? I don't know. I've been thinking about being a doorman. I think, you know, you get to meet a lot of new people. Get to,
yeah.
You know, get to stay in one spot all day. I don't like working, you know, like physically.
Right. And if I have to go up and down an elevator?
Easily one of the safest professions in the world. No, I know what's going to happen to you.
You're so wrong.
I mean, Leon's now kind of the villain of this piece in your eyes.
Well, he killed Tonto.
Man. God damn it.
Shit. So the men start to scatter once they realize that that's Tonto. And the one starts looking over the balcony, over the stairs, and Leon grabs him up from underneath and throws him down. I was like, oh, shit, this is a bad ass. And he gets that one with a noose from up above. Like, he's aerial, motherfucker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's where he needs to be.
Yes.
And he can hit you from levels.
Yes. And he is just picking off dudes one by one. And he finally gets to the big guy, who is a bitch.
Yep.
A bitch, bitch, bitch. And it's like, how did you get to the rankings you got anyway? Like he and his team were just shit, right?
Right.
And so he's using up his ammo. Which I'm like, firing willy-nilly pisses me off. Like, I'm like, conserve your ammo. If you can't do that.
Short bursts.
Short
Come
bursts,
on.
Right? And know what you're aiming at. Aim at something.
Yeah.
Know what you're aiming at. Ugh. And then what does he do? He calls the police. Like, what a bitch. Oh, I was like, oh, my God. I put in my nose. I was like, really, bro? So,
did you spell it bro or did you spell it bra?
No, I did B-R-O. Did B-R-O all with a question mark. So,
well, I'm glad you had proper punctuation.
Mm-hmm. So the guy is on the phone and he's backing up. And then all of a sudden, out of the dark, just comes this knife from the side and gets him right on the throat. And he tells the cops, I'll call you back. And Leon gives him a number to dial. And it is Maurizio. Mm-hmm. Maurizio. And he was like, see, you're in town. And the guy's like, oh, yeah. No, I'm not staying. And he tells him to get his fat fucking face out of there and never come back. And he tells Leon to make sure the guy understands and to let him go. And Leon lets him go and disappears back into the darkness. I don't even think he left a mark on this guy's neck.
Nah.
Dude, so good.
Now, that's an attention-grabbing opening.
That is an introduction to a character.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So Leon then heads out to this store first before going back to his apartment. He gets two quarts of milk, drink of choice.
You got to have a lot of calcium to be that solid of a cleaner.
Exactly. Yeah. Honestly, I want to go out and buy a jug of milk. I drank milk all the time as a kid. Also in the 90s is when you had the got milk things and the milk mustaches everywhere. And it was like, I read a meme where it was like, look at the propaganda that milk gave us in the 90s about how we were all going to be mush if we didn't drink milk, right?
The big milk industry really
Dude, they
really
got
came
us.
Up in the 90s.
Everybody. everybody from pop stars to like Olsen twins. Everybody was like, gotta get that milk. And we were like, yeah, gotta fucking drink that milk.
I'm like, heck yeah, I need strong bones.
And then it went to cheese and it's like, there's calcium in cheese. And we're like, fuck yeah, let's give us cheese. And then now we all have diabetes.
And we have heart problems.
Right. So Leon has the store, gets his milks. And he goes to his apartment building where we meet a young Natalie Portman smoking off of the railing. Matilda is her name, with her little choker.
Which is a great name. I love the name Matilda.
Uh-huh. And it's also, it's got in the caption, because I have to read captions because I can't hear worth a shit. It's got an H in it. I like that little flair on that name. Matilda. Yeah. Matilda. And she's got a little bruise on her eye. She says she fell off her bike, but we don't believe that.
Nah.
We know that's not true, and we'll find that out. But her dad, we find, is a holder. So he holds dope, essentially, for the bad guys, right? And he's being confronted by this guy, Malky. Yeah, we'll learn his name later. He had 100% pure dope that he was holding. Now that's turned to 90% within a month.
Mm-mm.
So something's happened.
You're cutting that. You're stepping on that. Uh-huh. What are you doing?
Yep. So he begins to be questioned by this guy, and there's another guy there in a tan suit who is listening to music, and he doesn't like to be interrupted. He's very much into his music. We don't interrupt him, but the holder does not admit that he has cut the dope, so we got to interrupt Stan.
He's like, if you don't tell me what's going on here, I gotta disturb Stan when he's listening to his music. He don't like being disturbed.
No.
When he's listening to that music.
He doesn't. But we've got to do it now. And so,
and I love how this scene was filmed,
uh-huh,
which is Gary from the back,
yes,
with the headphones in.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, homeboy walks up, taps him, he pulls the one earbud out.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Uh-huh.
And then just that turn.
The turn to the camera. Such a good reveal. And it is your boy,
Norman fucking Stansfield.
A.K.A.
Gary Oldman, put a goddamn it on it.
Yeah.
God's gift to acting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
God's gift to Jack Spade.
Gary Oldman is a actor. Everyone else, performer, entertainer.
You know,
someone that's in movies.
I'm starting to understand your reasoning.
Yes.
Because I've never, like, it's so diverse. I didn't know.
Right.
And I'm learning.
Right. Because really, I mean, you've seen Gary in other things.
I saw him in Harry Potter movies before I knew it was Gary fucking Oldman in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I knew Gary Oldman, but I didn't know Gary Oldman.
And then when we started this podcast and you and I kind of off mics have had conversations about things, and mm-hmm, I started telling you like, oh yeah, that was Gary Oldman in True Romance. That was Gary Oldman as Mason Verger in Hannibal.
In Hannibal.
That was Gary Oldman as Norman Stan. That was Gary Oldman in this. Gary Oldman in all these things. You're like, huh? Like,
no
how?
Idea.
One person? Yes, one person. And that man is Gary Oldman.
Gosh, I'm so excited.
Every year when someone wins an Academy Award and it's not Gary Oldman, and they get shuffled off into that little backstage interview area,
mm-hmm,
they first call Gary to say, hey, Gary, I know this is really your award,
uh-huh,
and you were gracious enough to let me have it because you're so humble. I just want to thank you for that. All these other quote unquote actors paying their respects to the greatest actor that ever lived, Gary fucking Oldman.
So you don't think that's just not Gary Oldman in a suit? Like, Gary Oldman's all actors, right?
They're all Gary Oldman?
They're all Gary Oldmans, yeah. Remember? That's how the world's going to end up. That's the ending to the world. It's all Gary Oldman.
Yep. My favorite version of Gary Oldman is Ben Affleck. I like when he plays Ben Affleck. I think he does a good Ben Affleck. I thought he was great in Batman.
That got me. Like, oh, that was good.
Gary Oldman is so good that when he plays the Kardashians, I fucking hate him.
Right.
I'm like, everyone is Gary Oldman. It's just we're in a simulation and Gary Oldman is just fucking with us.
What does he use for the masses?
Well, in the 90s, it was, prosthetics. They just use CGI for that now.
Right. That's what they do.
Gary Oldman doesn't really like the CG. He's a proper actor.
He likes using props.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Gary fucking Oldman.
God, do I love him.
So anyways, he's Stan, and he can, we're told he can sniff out a lie, right? So what does Stan do?
I mean, he's literally sniffs him.
I mean, he's off his fucking rocker. I mean, his eyes and everything, like, totally on a different plane.
Yeah, you can tell just from when he turns around, you're like, something's off.
Something, just the way he moves. Yeah. I mean, my God.
Every little just tick, every little twist and turn of his body, he just has so much control over his expression,
right,
over his limbs. Like, every finger movement is insane.
And he moves so light, like a dancer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so fluid and light how he does.
And when they filmed this part, the actor that he was working with,
mm-hmm.
he didn't say like, "Hey, I'm gonna creep in, you know, just like kind of sniff you." Gary just did that.
Oh.
So like that actor was like, "What?" Cuz clearly he's not on Gary's level.
No,
he's not. He was a little bit thrown off by that.
I don't know his name, but he's in The Practice. I loved that show.
Oh, the guy that was...
Yeah, the guy, okay. The dad. Yeah, all right. The holder. That's just my little tidbit. That's all I got.
I didn't know that.
Practice is on Hulu if you want to watch it.
But yeah, Gary just gets up on him. He's like...
So he didn't tell him. That's so good. Yeah,
just sniffs away.
Sniffs
creeps
him
out. Mm-hmm. And like instantly, because this is what Gary Oldman brings to the table, we know that like, okay, this dude is going to be something you're going to want to keep your eyes on.
Yeah, absolutely. But as he sniffs, he goes, of course you didn't. Of course you didn't cut it. But find out who did by noon is what he does. And then they leave. Mm. So good. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, shit. When he comes back tomorrow, it's going to be a mess. And then we find out that the holder is Matilda's dad. And he slaps the shit out of her. Real piece of shit, right?
Yep.
Leon is watching all of this because his apartment is at the end of the hallway. So he's able to get a clear shot and he knows what's going on. And then we start to get a moment into his life and who he is, right? So he's got quite the rig of weapons and he's very just lonely and kind of sad, like a torn person.
Very minimalistic, you know? Lifestyle.
Very much.
He's got a plant that he is like his best friend.
Yep. And he's like, oh, when he's ironing, you know, and he's just meticulous, like just, it's just kind of, you know, I like to know what killers are doing when they're not killing. Like,
right.
Like I love to know their lives, you know, and I'm like, okay, he takes care of a plant and he irons his clothes and.
That's the type of hitman that I would be, very living a solitary lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
you know. One thing that I find fascinating about his character, he doesn't sleep in a bed.
No, he sleeps in the corner in the chair.
Yeah.
Back to the corner. Smart.
My dad doesn't sleep in a bed.
Really?
Yeah, he's been a recliner sleeper forever.
Okay. Well, you know, if you've got body parts that hurt, you know, recliner's your best option.
Yeah,
Or you're a hitman.
Hmm. Wonder if my dad really was building tractors all his life or if he was just out smoking people.
Is that a front?
Maybe.
Is that a laundry? You don't really have a lot of cash business in there, do you, though?
I mean,
is that money laundering?
Maybe.
What are we doing?
Maybe.
Oh, my God. Did he cover up bodies with the tractors?
Oh. I mean, he did always have money for me to buy comics back in the day.
Oh, my God. We just figured it out.
And my dad, you know, like Scandinavian, Norwegian in heritage, he did. When I asked him one time, I'm like, did you ever like kill anyone? He just said, forget about it.
Uh-huh.
He snapped into that Italian side real quick.
Yeah.
Maybe.
My dad does that too.
Yeah.
He's like, I know people. I'm like, you're in the bar business. You probably do.
My favorite response in that vein is like, don't worry about it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man, how'd you do this thing? Don't worry about it. Yeah. How'd you get this? Don't worry about it.
And it's like, I feel like I should. I feel like I have a tad bit of worry.
If I tell you,
it.
That makes you an accessory after the fact.
Right.
Because while you should not worry about it, I worry enough about the law to know that I don't want to implicate you in some shit.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. That's super good. So yeah, we see his kind of day-to-day life. And then the next day, Matilda, your girl, she just want to watch some Transformers.
Hell yeah.
I was like, ah, there's another layer to why he loves this movie so much.
Yep.
I did. I was like, yeah, she just wants to watch some cartoons, but everyone in the house is shitty to her. Like, fuck this family. Like, them, what happens to them in a few moments, don't care about it. Because
right.
I just don't care about any of them. And they're just super mean to her. So Leon, in the meantime, this morning, he goes, oh, I teared up on this and I don't know why, but he goes to the movies And he's so sweet in the movies, and him watching that movie, just bright eyed and like watching, was it Gene Kelly? Uh-huh. Was it Gene Kelly dance in the movie? Oh my God, it got me.
That one hit
it
you.
It was
huh?
super sweet. He's just so enthralled in the movie. And you know what it made me think of in The Green Mile? When the main guy, when he's watching, he wanted to see one of those flicker shows.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And he's just the look on his face. Like that's what it reminded me of. And it was super sweet.
Green Mile's a great movie.
Right. But I mean, here's a hitman and he's just so enthralled with this guy singing and dancing. A layer upon layer. It got me. It made me so, oh God, I loved him in that moment. When he returns though, he sees Matilda with a bloody nose and he hands her a tissue. So they're starting to form this bond. And she asks if life is always this hard or just when you're a kid. And he's like, always like this.
At least he didn't bullshit her.
He didn't. Damn. So she says she's going to go grocery shopping and offers to buy him some milk. 2 quarts of milk. And she does this just as the clock is getting ready to hit noon.
And I believe Gary Oldman said, I want answers by noon.
By noon. So all of the thugs show up along with Stan, who crunches. He opens it. He's got a little tin can.
Yes.
And I love that it's his tin can and he shakes it at his ear to see if there's something in there.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, fuck, that's cool. And he pulls out a pill, which I'm assuming is just like straight dope and shit.
They were muscle relaxers.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I thought he was getting like hyped up, which I guess you could on a muscle relaxer.
Right?
But it'll fuck you up. I've seen him.
Yeah, he and just the way, and I love the way it was shot. So the camera's like kind of on him, and then he shakes the tin and he opens it up, and as he's about to put it in his mouth, the camera is hovering above him, and he just lifts his head up, crunches the pill, twists his neck, and his eyes, like you can almost see them bulge out of his head for a minute as he just gets this endorphin rush.
Right.
Of like whatever it is he just bit into.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn it, Gary. You're so good.
It was amazing. It was so amazing.
Like God. Norman's about to wreck motherfuckers. And before he does, he's got to get his little fix. And it's just, it's over the top. It's, you know, I always refer to it as like that mustache twirling villainy.
Uh-huh.
It's scene chewery at its finest, but it is done better than anyone can do it.
Agreed.
It's Gary Oldman.
Because it's Gary fucking Oldman. God, I love how much you love Gary Oldman. It's my favorite thing. So he says after he crunches the pill, he goes, he likes the calm moments before the storm. It reminds him of Beethoven.
And I love when he the calm turn to the person he's telling it to.
Flowing.
And then when he starts walking down the hall, there's a little look that he gives one of the thugs standing in the wall. He just like kind of gives him the head nod, like, huh? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The shit's about to go down.
Yeah.
I can feel like.
Right. He was like, he was like, it's like listening. It's like putting your head to the grass and listening to it growing. You can hear the insects. I was like, oh, shit. It was so good. And he just goes blazing in with a shotgun. Kabam! Everybody died. Shoots that shit family. I didn't fucking care. Got the one in the bathtub.
Mama's just sitting in the bathtub listening to some tunes. Ba-bow!
Blows through the tub and it's like, don't care, fuck her. You know? Yeah.
Just, all right, on to the next one.
And then this scene where the only thing separating the holder from Stan are those hanging beads, and the way he approaches and then just cuts through them, open, like puts his hands through and then opens them up, and like I'm like, is this Jesus?
Right?
Like he just holds his hand, like, oh my God, it was so good.
And that
just
the
so fluid.
The answer to your question, yes.
Yes, it is Jesus.
Yep.
Gary Oldman is Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Back then and today.
Yep, Gary Oldman, you know, fed all them people with some fish.
Whew.
Turned that water into wine.
Gary Oldman was the fucking bread, yo.
Yeah.
He was them loaves.
He played the bread.
He played the fucking loaves.
Man, I've never seen more believable bread in all my life. Gary Oldman.
That bread got character. That's Gary fucking Oldman.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, regular bread, is it? No. No, that's Gary Oldman in that yeast.
That's Gary Oldman in that yeast. That's my favorite thing you've ever said in my life. That's my favorite thing. Gary Oldman in that fucking yeast. That's my favorite.
Right.
Oh, shit. Gary Oldman in that yeast. It's so ridiculous, yet oddly believable.
I know.
Well, if anybody could play yeast, it'd be this guy.
Correct.
Making shit rise, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, my God. So
next time you're in the bread aisle, you're going to have a full-on conniption.
I'm going to die.
This thing has Gary Oldman in the yeast.
If I... Yeah. I will never forget that as long as I live.
You're going to be at the supermarket. Some woman going to pass you with a cart full of bread. Oh, you got some of that Gary Oldman bread, huh? She's going to be like, huh? But then that woman, Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman got Gary Oldman in the bag.
Right? Are you Gary Oldman?
Am I?
I mean, you play. You? You maybe.
Oh, my God. Man. So he starts... He doesn't kill the holder.
No, I love that he walks up to him. He's like, I said noon. I've got 1 minute past.
Yes. And so he tells his guys to start tossing the apartment looking for that 10% that they're looking for. And Stan is talking about music and like, I bet you don't like Beethoven. He's like, and then he starts talking about Mozart and he was like, he's an Austrian. Like, it was just so good.
And every one of the, like, he did a bunch of different takes on that. Every one of them improvised.
Wow. I bet. I felt like that had to be him.
Yep.
Oh man, that's so good. And he's like, you know, Mozart, I think, is like, music's too light for these situations. He's like, Brahms is good. It's just so off the wall.
Yeah.
It's just like this guy knows he's about to fucking die and they're trashing his place. They've killed his family. And he's talking about fucking classical music.
And I love when he goes, honestly, after his openings, he does tend to get a little fucking boring. Mm-hmm. That's why I stopped. As if he's like, I did you this favor.
Right.
Aren't you happy with my performance that I just shotgunned your entire family and now I've stopped?
Ooh, I am the maestro.
Gary Oldman.
Ah, the maestro and the orchestra. Son of a bitch. All right. So, so we have that. And then Matilda's dad, the holder, gets a hold of a gun that is behind him. And then shots are ringing out everywhere. Stan luckily only gets clipped in the shoulder. We don't lose him yet. And then he is able to get Matilda's dad as he's running off. And then what was even more amazing was he gets up, Stan does, and he looks and he's pissed because his suit is ripped. And then he just keeps on shooting the holder. Just he's down laying. He's fucking dead.
Before he's even there, he's like crawling and he just stalks him just like over him.
Oh.
Pop. Like,
it's like he's gone.
Yeah. And then just like three more shots. He's like, Stan, he's dead. He's like, buddy, ruined my suit.
And then he just goes to take the bullets out to reload to just keep on again.
Yeah.
God, that was so good. So he's doing that. Also did like the old lady neighbor that comes out, was like, leave that family alone. And he just, cause now they're outside of the apartment and he just shoots Byron, was like, we told you to go inside.
Yeah. Stan's lackey's like, ma'am, don't worry about it. Just go inside. Why don't you leave him alone? Pop. He said, go back inside.
And she just doesn't flinch. And she just looks at the broken glass behind her. And I was like, I want to be that one day.
Right.
Like, I want to be that old lady. It was probably also Gary Oldman.
Yep.
So Matilda is making her way back with the groceries. And this was super smart. She comes up and of course there's a guy standing outside the door while there's chaos and she hears that they've killed everyone in the apartment, right? Like, oh shit, you got a kid. So the little brother that she has died. Little 4-year-old brother has died.
Yeah, he was hiding under the bed and then when
all those gunshots went off. So she never flinches. She doesn't make a move. She just walks with the groceries right past the apartment. I was like, that's smart. That was super smart for a kid. And she goes to Leon's apartment and knocks on or rings Leon's doorbell. And I was like, oh, God. And like the guy at the door of her actual apartment is watching. And she's like got tears and she's quietly saying, like, let me in. Please let me in. She keeps ringing the doorbell. And he finally lets her in.
Yeah, there's that moment of hesitation. Because he knows, you know.
He needs to be smart.
Yeah, if I open this door, that's going to start a whole world of fucking problems for me.
Kids, they're always a liability.
Right, every one of them.
And then about that time, the thugs see a family photo and know that there's another kid. They've got a little girl that's missing. And the door guy who saw her go into the apartment, into Leon's apartment, kind of walks up there like he's suspicious, but he lets it go because he hears the cartoons in the back and he's like, probably not it. And he goes back. The thugs find the dope. The cops show up and Stan leaves a man behind and says, what if they ask what happened here and just say you did your fucking job or you did your job.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, oh,
they are police.
Oh,
DEA.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, no. What does this mean? And yeah, you find out they're DEA.
That was a nice little twist.
That was a good twist.
And I love, much like when Gary comes through that beaded curtain initially when the guy's like, well, what do I tell the cops? And he just stops and just stands in front of that beaded curtain.
Yeah.
And you get that cool shot.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't come through the curtain.
No.
He's just like, tell them you were doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
Just so well shot. He looks so fucking sinister and menacing. And just,
yeah.
Love me some Gary Oldman. I don't know if I've mentioned this or not.
You know what? I haven't heard it before, to be honest.
Well,
so
let
I
me
wasn't
tell
sure.
I like
do
Gary,
you?
I like Gary Oldman a
do
lot.
Do yous?
Yeah. I sure do.
Can't take it. So Matilda is in Leon's apartment now. And she's only sad because of her little brother. She doesn't care about the rest of them. That's not really her mom. It's her stepmom. That's not even her real sister. She just cares about her little brother. And Leon is so, I love the way he was played. He's just so odd. And like he has the pig, the oven mitt, you know, with the pig. And he's like trying to make her laugh, which he does. But like, he's just an odd dude.
Yeah.
Like he's, you know. He's just trying to, I mean, he's never been in this situation before. He's probably never been around children. Like, what is, it's just, he was just played so well.
Well, and even Jean Reno said that, because, you know, as we get on into the movie and we explore more of the relationship
yes.
between Matilda and Leon.
Yeah.
He's like, Jean Reno said that he wanted to play Leon as almost as if he was a little mentally slow.
Yes.
Because he didn't want.
Okay. Because I felt like that and I didn't know if that was on purpose or not.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. part of the reason, as we'll, you know, discuss later when it's Matilda's like almost falling for this dude.
Yeah.
He wanted it to come across on his end by playing him more a little on that, like that slow side that mm-hmm. he wanted the audience to know, oh, this dude is never going to take advantage of
mm-hmm.
this girl in this situation,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a great acting
yeah.
choice, you
yes.
know, and it totally fit.
Yeah. Oh man, that's so well done. So he, and they have this really cute little thing where she asks his name and he finally tells her it's Leon. And she was like, you have a cute name. And he spits up his milk.
He chokes on some milk, yeah.
Chokes on his milk. So she asks him what he does. And he says he's a cleaner, which means he's a hitman, you know.
Which I think is a way cooler way of saying that you're a hitman.
Cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to tell somebody I'm a cleaner
yeah.
and just see what they interpret it as. And then she says that she wants to work for him. In exchange, like, I'll do your groceries, I'll do your laundry, I'll clean the apartment, but I want you to teach me how to clean. And I was like, oh, shit, that's a twist I didn't see coming. And he's like, no deal. And he puts her to bed, and it was super sweet. But then, you know, that night, he's sitting in his chair, he's sleeping in his chair, and he gets up, and he goes like he's going to kill her, like he's going to shoot her, which I'm like, she's a liability, bro.
Uh-huh.
Like, I get where you're at, but he won't do it. He doesn't do it. And he goes back to bed.
Hitman with a heart of gold.
Oh, man. Can't do it. Thank goodness. So the next morning, he tells her she's got to go, but she wants to be a cleaner and wants to be his partner. And he saved her life. So obviously he saved it for something, because if he lets her go, she's just going to die. So I'm your responsibility now because you saved my life. And I was like, she got you, bro.
Yeah.
And he won't do it, but he's like, here, take a gun then. Be a cleaner. And she shoots out the window.
Yeah, just firing like
just
this random.
Willy-nilly, just yeah. pow. And so.
Maybe in one of those apartments across the way, someone was grieving for Tonto and took a stray bullet.
Oh, no.
That family just can't catch a break.
They can't. First, no. Tonto.
No, not Tonto. Why?
Oh, shit.
His family's already been through so much.
Useless violence. So he, after she does the shooting out of the window, they have to move now, I guess. And so he takes her along with him with the plant, and they find themselves a new place. And she kind of proves herself as a good little liar and pretty smart because she, you know, we find out that he can't read and write.
Yep.
Of course, he's from Italy, right? So I think, he's never taught.
He said he's learning too. Yeah.
But, you know, he's busy. He doesn't have it in his schedule
doing
to learn.
Cleaner shit.
Right. So she's like, oh, Dad, I want to fill out this paperwork. So she grabs it so that she can fill it out for him. And it was super smart. She's a super smart little crafty kid.
And you have to imagine a kid that age being in that situation. Because we learned early on in this movie, she's in a shitty situation.
Yeah.
Like, she would have to get resourceful.
Absolutely.
You know, there was even a line, a little scene earlier in the movie before the family gets shotgunned, where she gets a call, the apartment gets a call from the school,
the boarding school
that she was supposed to be at, and the headmistress is like, hey, Matilda hasn't been to school for like 2 weeks, and she's like, ah, she's dead.
Yeah,
you know, so like, she's been in some shitty situations since day one.
Yes,
she has to be resourceful.
She's grown up fast, and
we see all of this play out as the movie goes on.
Mm-hmm. Very true. So she asks again, I want to learn the theory of being a cleaner. So Leon goes to Tony, who we saw at the beginning of the movie where he gets his jobs, and gets a rifle, which is a beginner weapon, because that's the furthest away you are from the client. The closer to pro you get, the closer you get to the client. That's why, for example, the knife is the last step that you learn.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit.
And then you think back to that opening scene, and you're like, oh, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Super good. So, and it's oddly, like, he's teaching her this, how to be a hitman, and it's oddly touching. Like, it's very, I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. Look at her finally having a father figure who's teaching her how to kill other lives. But I'm like, oh, it's great. And she's looking down, and I thought they were using live bullets, but they're not. But she gets that jogger. Was he supposed to be like president or something? He was important because he had like Secret Service looking. But she ends up going and she ends up shooting a blank at a jogger. So she's pretty good on her first try. And then we get this montage of them. Her cleaning the apartment and doing her chores and her earning her keep and cleaning guns and stuff and learning different things and drinking all that milk, even though she doesn't want to drink it. Like, it's super touching. And also in the middle of this, you know, Leon is attached to his plant. Like we said, it's his best friend, and she's teaching him how to learn and how to read and write. And then they take a break to play some celebrity charades, which was very touching. He doesn't know Madonna. He didn't know Marilyn Monroe. Or Charlie Chaplin, I think, but he knew Gene Kelly from the movies. Oh,
and then the roles reverse, and he gets to a crack at it, and he's a version of John Wayne,
which I instantly knew who it was.
Right?
Like, that walk was perfect. That was a good John Wayne impression. But they're just precious. Like, they're getting this bond that's just they've never had before in their lives. Right? You know, God, it was so good. And then we learn in a meeting with Tony that Leon has missed out on a couple of jobs. Of course, he's in training, or his, you know, Matilda's in training. And Tony, the guy who gives him the jobs, we learn that Tony's like his bank. He keeps all his money that he earns. And Leon wants to use it. And Tony goes through like, is it a woman? Because you can get in trouble with those things, you know. You've had some trouble in the past. But we don't really expound more than that. So at the apartment, Matilda thinks that she's falling in love with Leon, which was, I was like, oh, interesting twist.
Right.
What an interesting predicament we're in. But then again, it's like, has she ever had love for another adult in her life ever? Like,
No,
she's never loved another. I mean, look at her shitty life that she's had. The mom's gone. Everybody was shitty to her, but she feels it in her stomach. And I was like, this is oddly touching. You know?
That's like the one part of the movie where I'm just like, ugh, creepy.
It is creepy, but it's like, I can understand why she's confused, because again, these two people, have they ever had anybody really love them in their lives?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Well, so I'm like,
and
I get it.
And again, going back to, you know, Jean Reno's decision to play Leon the way he did.
Yeah.
I like his reaction of, well, I'm glad your stomach doesn't hurt anymore.
Yes, your stomach ache's gone.
Yeah,
that was super good. So, you know, it's like, I get how it could be creepy if you didn't understand it, but it's like...
Yeah, because nowadays when...
You couldn't make that.
When an 11-year-old is like, I think I'm falling in love with you. It's like, cool, you need to go away.
Right.
Like, I am casting you out. I'm going to... Yep, yeah. I should have shot you in the head.
But no, they just have a bond.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... When I saw this, though, I was like, I can't believe I haven't heard people going back to this movie and being like, ah, poor Natalie Portman was about to be raped.
Oh, they have.
Have they? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't know about Natalie Portman. Really?
Yeah.
That was not the point.
Yeah.
It was not the point.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about this movie over the last while about like, oh, she was, you know, this character was really sexualized and da-da-da and this and that. And I was just like, if you're looking for that...
You'll find it.
You'll find it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, people point out the, you know, well, here's this 11-year-old dressed up like a whore Madonna and blah, blah, blah. It's like... I wasn't looking for that.
No.
Like, I mean, clearly you weren't looking for that.
No. I thought she was of the time. She was of the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like,
I mean,
she wasn't out of place.
Yeah. That was, yeah. I mean, that was, Madonna was super popular back then.
Right.
That's what people, you know, like teenage girls dressed like Madonna mm-hmm. from time to time, dancing around MTV and shit.
Right.
It's like, cool, okay, great. And then, like, here's Leon not doing anything about it.
No.
Not,
he doesn't know what the character, he doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah, and clearly not even remotely attracted to it or
no.
turned on by it. But
no.
then, you know, people gotta look for everything.
Of course.
And again,
well,
we've talked about, like, yes, that shit does happen and it's horrible
mm-hmm.
and address it properly.
Right.
Like, going back 20 years later to pitch about a movie
right.
that is clearly not about that
no.
isn't the way to fix it.
Mm-mm. You've missed the point.
Right.
Once again, you've yeah. missed the fucking point.
You know who's actually going out and fixing that shit? Ashton Kutcher.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's a dude that has done more for human trafficking
yes!
to prevent that and to stop that and to help those women.
The guy who created Punk'd is doing more shit quietly, like not
right.
in your face, like not like this social justice warrior bullshit.
Right.
Like, he's doing shit.
Yeah. Not like, hey, look at all these people I've saved today. Nope. He's just fucking going out there getting shit
right.
done while you're bitching about fucking Natalie Portman dressed up as Madonna in The Professional. Fucking mutts.
That's why he deserves to be married to Mila Kunis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hands down. Yeah.
Right?
Like, that's your reward.
Yeah.
Like, after you save 5,000 women from sex trafficking, you get Mila Kunis.
Right. You trade up from Demi Moore so you can get Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
That's your life.
That was a hell of a fucking trade up.
Damn. Fuck Demi Moore.
Whoa.
Also, your name's Demi. Like, quit making me say Demi, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, screw yourself, all right?
Well, we're on the on the topic.
Eh, feel sorry for me, but I'm going to write a book about how I'm a drug addict and a whore. Okay, fuck you. Girl power.
Hashtag me too.
So... I'm sorry, I got a little off there. Anyways, so Leon leaves and he goes out on a job. And this is where we get in a sticky situation again, because Matilda, while Leon is gone, she goes downstairs to the guy at the counter and says that, you know, by the way, Leon's not really my father. He's my lover. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, there we go.
I was like, damn it. There we go. So then she goes to her old apartment and she goes to get some things. And, oh, she stands in the outline of her little brother. That was sad.
Oh, yeah, that was a bit harsh.
And then she gets some stashed cash in the floorboard. And I was like, oh, smart.
Mm-hmm.
She's observant. She knows what's going on. And while she's there, here comes Stan with a couple of cops, a couple of detectives.
And a quick aside, I've always wanted floorboards that I could stick things into.
Me too! Me too. Every cool kid had like hidden shit in a floorboard, and I had all carpet growing up.
Yeah.
I had carpet in the bathroom for a long time until we finally got tile in there, but nothing I could stash anything under.
Yeah. Even now as a grown ass adult, as a homeowner.
Right.
I don't have a secret compartment
Mm-mm.
that I can hide ill-gotten stacks of cash.
No.
I don't like it.
My granddad used to store guns underneath the back behind the molding under the kitchen sink.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You pulled that. I knew where that was at. I knew where every gun was at. You pulled that off and it had guns under there.
So you've been to my house.
Yes.
You know how it's kind of set up. My house is kind of set up where you walk in the front door. You kind of walk down this long hallway into kind of like the big open living room area. To your right is the master bedroom. To the left is like a little walkway that leads to the two other bedrooms.
Yeah.
I've told Rachel I want to wall off that little area to the two bedrooms, just so I can turn it into like a secret compartment of some sort. Like I want like a panic room.
I do too.
I want secret passages.
Yeah. Also, you might as well ward them off because you say two bedrooms, but they're not bedrooms. You've got a Transformers room and Rachel has her Lego room.
Yeah.
Because I finally realized I had only been to the spare bathroom and then I realized that they were two toy rooms and I was like, oh, really? Fuck people who want to stay here. Like, fuck them.
Yeah.
They got nowhere to go, bro.
Yeah. If you want to stay at our house, you're going to be sleeping with about 2,000 Transformers or 1,000 different Lego sets.
Just in the floor.
Yeah. And you're probably going to be like so terrified about knocking anything over.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to break anything in this expensive ass room.
Rachel was showing me around and I was like, oh God, I got broad shoulders. I was like trying to squeeze everything together. I was like, oh God.
And yeah. I always get a kick when my friends with kids come over and they're like, okay, is it cool? Like, are you sure you want to show them the room? It's like, and they have to give them the little pep talk before. You're like, don't touch anything. I will smack you if you touch anything. Hey, don't touch it.
And then Jack will smack you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a true story. Learn to respect.
So, he's talking to the cops and like basically he messed up killing a kid. The police want some cooperate with me on this. And Stan is like, you want some cooperation? Come to my room 4602.
Yeah, come to my office because I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit.
Yes.
God damn, I love Gary Oldman.
Mickey Mouse bullshit.
Everything he says, every word that comes out of his mouth is just money.
Oh, you're so happy.
I am.
You are just the happiest I ever see Jack is when he's talking about Gary freaking Oldman. It's so good. So Matilda is, of course, hearing all this because she's hiding in that apartment and has a cabbie. I love how she is with the cabbie, like hands him $100. He's like, she's like, follow the fucking blue car.
Yeah, what do you want me to run all the red lights? And, you know, you're like, no, I want you to take the $100, stay close behind him, but don't lose sight of him.
Yes. So follows them and he goes to the DEA. Oh, God, what a twist. He's high-fiving cops as he goes in. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, you know, everyone loves Stan.
Oh, right.
He's that dude. He's like, man, this dude is off his fucking rocker, but goddamn, is he good at his job? He's entertaining. Fucking, he's a high five man. I feel like a different person when I'm hanging out with Norman Stansfield.
Oh, I'd love to be around Norman Stansfield.
Oh, yeah.
on his good side.
Yep.
Man, I'd be corrupt as fuck for him.
Norm, can I get you anything? Can I do anything?
Mm-hmm.
I also absolutely love when Norman leaves the apartment and he just takes that kid's basketball.
Yes. You should be in school.
Yeah. That's one of like the biggest dickhead things you can do is just take a kid's basketball. And when you do it in a movie, it's like, oh, this dude's a dickhead. But when Norman Stansfield, that's when it's Gary Oldman, you're like, yeah, kid, you should be
in
school.
You should be in school. You little fuck.
Listen to Gary. He knows better.
Learn something.
Yeah.
Other than a dribble. Get the fuck out of here. Right. And not only he doesn't toss anywhere, he just literally takes it. Like he just, they take the fucking ball.
He's like, this is mine now. I'm going to bring this back to the office. I'm going to go hang out with Hank in receivables, and we're just going to shoot some hoops with your ball. Fuck you, kid.
Hank in receivables. Now I need a backstory on Hank in receivables.
You need a professional cinematic universe with all the little one-off characters.
Hank, the received. That's what I need.
The received.
The received. The receiver. So, meanwhile, poor Leon goes home after a job and he gets kicked out for being a perv because he's this child lover. I love that there were no cops involved. The guy just kicks them out both together. It's like, hey, you can't fuck kids here. Go fuck them somewhere else.
Jesus.
Was that not odd to you? It was like, hey, man, you just can't do it on my premises.
You know, though, I respect someone that will take charge like that. You know?
I
like,
do, too.
When it comes to that, like, then no cops need to be involved here. I'm just going to fuck you up.
Oh, man. So they have to leave. They have to find a new place. Also, Leon is hurt. You see him stitching himself up because he's been shot. from his latest job. Leon also meets with Tony, the guy from the beginning, and says if anything were to happen to him, to give his money to Matilda. Oh, he's got a beneficiary now. God.
And you always, like, at least me, I get the vibe. It's like, okay, Tony, is he on the up and up?
Right.
Is he really looking out for Leon, or is he just a piece of shit exploiting him? Mm-hmm. Like,
I was like, oh, does he really even have his money? Yeah. Is he not paying him at all? Like,
how is he doing this?
I was concerned about too, but I think at the end, I think he's a good guy. I think he's a kind guy.
Overall, yeah.
But I did worry about that when he first mentions money. I'm like, oh shit, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. I thought that was going to be a thing, but it doesn't get explored. But it was exactly like you on it. So, meanwhile, Matilda goes and finds Stan, goes back to the DEA, and she has like food, like she's going to go deliver food. And of course, she knows it's room 4602. So she follows him and she spots Stan in the lobby going to the bathroom. And so she follows him. I'm like, oh, God. So she goes into the bathroom and she's looking all the way. She gets to the end of the stalls and then, boom, he's hiding behind the door. He knew she was there after him.
Just slowly closes the door. The reveal of Norman Stansfield just perched against the bathroom wall.
Every time he comes on screen, it's amazing.
Just like, awesome. Yeah, just that reveal.
Yes, the reveals are just great every time.
And then, again, just plays it so calm. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, oh, what you got there? Like some Thai food? Is it some Chinese?
Don't tell me it's Chinese.
Oh, no, I bet I know what that is. That's Italian food. Would you like to tell me about the chef that prepared it for me?
Oh, my God.
Just so sinister, because you already know at this point the dude is insane.
He is.
And he's just playing. Just playing mm-hmm. with her.
Just a cat with a mouse.
Yep.
Just bopping it around.
Yep.
Doesn't want to kill it.
Not
just wants to play with it.
In the least.
No. No. Oh, shit. And then, again, you're talking about how it's shot. Just that him walking down that bathroom. Just, you know, it's just so good. And then... he crunches another damn pill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. That means shitty things about to be happening. And he asks her, he was like, what shitty thing have I done this time?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. And she's like, you killed my brother. And so he knows who she is. God.
And his reaction is just like, oh, did I kill your brother?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he's just like, man, fuck. Well, okay.
Mike, sorry.
All right. Well, I guess, you know, did he have it coming? Probably.
And then he asks her if she cares about life because he takes no pleasure taking life from a person who doesn't care about it.
How twisted is that?
And I literally, like, I paused it and I went, wait a minute. And I put the line together of like, he didn't take pleasure in people who, I was just like, he wants her to care about life and take it away from her.
Uh-huh.
I was like, that's fucked up.
Right?
Oh, man.
Total cop thing to say.
Right. Yeah, I paused it there and I was like, oh, holy shit.
Wait, I need a second. Wait, what?
What?
Rewind.
Where was that negative at? Wait, what? Who? takes pleasure in what now?
Excuse me? Fuck.
Oh, he wants you to love life and kill you. Not he doesn't want you to not want life. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that was some fucking shit. That was the line of the character, you know, or the motivation, that mindset of that character.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
I love that. I love that line. Also, I love the line in the beginning when they're torching the apartment to look for the dope and they find it. And he's just like, bingo.
Yep.
Just his inflection on that. Just looking out the window. Bingo.
Oh, God. So good. Luckily, before he kills Matilda, one of Stan's thugs comes in, but they're really all cops, right? Still a thug. And says that Malky's dead. And Malky was kind of the guy in the movie that kind of like could get a handle on Stan, you know, like redirect him where he needed to go, get his mind straight, you know. And basically, Malky was making a buy with the Chinese when a pro came in and shoots shoots everyone. And Malky goes to the guy, says, "I'm a cop." And it's Leon who says,
No women, no kids.
Oh, no women, no kids. Because that was his rule. Because Matilda asked him earlier, he's like, "You shoot everybody." And he was like, "No women, no kids."
Pop.
Shoots him. And what is Stan's reply?
"Death is whimsical today."
I love that too.
Fuck.
Oh.
Good, do it.
That was so damn good. So,
anyone else saying those words? Gary Oldman saying those words.
Son of a bitch,
man,
yes.
Where is my "death is whimsical today" tattoo? Where am I going to put
where
that?
Where is that?
It's a belly rocker I got.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
No. Don't do that to Gary Oldman. But that is a great tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
"Death is whimsical today."
Such a great line.
And you're right. Nobody else could have said that. Nobody else in any other movie, I don't think, could have ever said it except for Stan, Gary Oldman, in that movie.
Yep.
God, it was so good. So Stan has his guy take Matilda to his office. Meanwhile, Leon makes it home and finds a note from Matilda. And by this point, he can read. He can read the note that she's written for him, saying she knew where the guys were at the DEA building. She's going to do them herself is what she's going to do. And if shit goes wrong, she's left him 20 grand. Oh, they're each other's little beneficiaries. Oh, God. So Leon, and this was quick. Like, this happened super fast. And I was expecting this because I thought this was going to be a whole big thing, but it's not. Leon just goes in. He kills the guards. He finds Matilda and gets the fuck out of the building.
Pop, pop. Like
pop,
a pro.
Pop, just like a pro.
Did you have any attachment to the guard at the police station that gets capped right away? Not so much.
Not so much. Didn't care.
He wasn't Tonto?
No, he wasn't a Tonto.
Fucking cops.
Not everybody can be a Tonto.
Right?
You know? You got to be civilian clothes to be a Tonto. He gets out of there fast. It was not. I was like, oh shit, that was anticlimactic, which was awesome, you know. So Stan then takes he and his fellow thug coppers, to Tony, and they bust up in on that kid's birthday party. I was like, oh God.
Don't take the pill, Norm.
Don't take the pill. And he says that his guy was killed on Tony's turf and that it's his hitman. And he really wants to meet this guy.
Oh, shit. Get you the shivers.
And he does, because Matilda, going out to get groceries, gets caught by a SWAT team. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. So she leaves to go get groceries. She's on her way back. She gets caught by the SWAT team. And they are asking her questions. Is he expecting you back? Do you have a code that you knock on the door? And she says yes. And she does the knocks. And they're wrong. She does 3 knocks, 2 knocks, 1 knock. It was actually, what was it? 3-2-3 or what? I can't remember.
It's Morse code for die.
Oh, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the one?
The wrong code.
That's the wrong code?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, I didn't know that. That's super cool.
Yeah.
That's so smart.
Movie just elevated, didn't it?
It did. That whole completely elevated. Holy shit. So gives him the wrong Morse code. And so the guy moves in and they open the door and they do the knocks and then they open the door and they're going through in the hallway. And you just see Leon's hand come from above and he just shuts the door so gently. And just kills him.
Just
knocks
him
off. Oh, my God. And radio. This is getting radioed down to Stan. And he's like, he wants everyone. He wants all the cops.
Everyone.
Yeah. He wants all the fucking cops. All the fucking guys. Everyone.
That take has been referenced in a lot of things. Parodied in a lot of things. And when Gary did that, when Mr. Oldman did that.
Gary, I love that you just call him Gary, you know, like your first name basis,
right?
Gary.
So Gary Oldman said that he wanted to, originally when he did it, it was just in a regular, you know, like bring me everyone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then he wanted to fuck with Luc Besson, the director.
Uh-huh.
So he kind of cued the sound guy and he's like, "Hey, take your headphones off." And he's like, "Huh? What?" And then, yeah, because like him screaming that would have made that dude deaf.
Yes.
But that is one of my favorite gifts to post when anything comes up. Man, you know who should love this? Everyone!
Yeah.
Hey, who do you want to invite to your party? Everyone!
Oh my God. I'm putting that on an invitation now.
Yes! Oh, I want to have... My birthday's coming up in July.
Oh my God.
I want to have a Gary Oldman birthday party.
Oh my God, everybody be different Gary Oldman characters?
We all come dressed as our favorite Gary Oldman character.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Oh God.
This is going to happen.
Who do I need to be? Who should I be?
Oh shit, who do you want to be? I mean,
I don't
really
know.
You could be Leanne.
Oh my God, you know what? I'm going full out. I'm going to go get me a wheelchair and I'm going to be Hannibal guy.
Oh, you're going as Mason Verger?
I'm going to be Mason Verger and I'm just going to be like, because my favorite thing to say from that movie is, go down. Go down. Yes, that way I can sit the whole fucking time. Yeah. My lazy ass is getting, oh my gosh, I need to hire a Cordell to push me around.
You need some pigs?
Oh my God, I will make this a thing.
All right.
Gonna make it a thing.
Fuck yeah.
I'm a Mason Verger.
I think I'm gonna be Drexel.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Oh, please. And then you get to greet everybody at the door as Drexel.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the party. We got everything from a Jimmy I. Joe to a damn if I know.
Yes. Please make this happen.
Oh, you must have thought it was White Boy Day. It ain't White Boy Day, is it?
Yes. I'm so excited for all of these things that will probably never come to fruition, but at least we're talking about them.
until July 31st, when I come walking in here with a robe and dreads and a fucked up eye and just like rocking my boxer shorts. And you're like, oh shit, you are serious?
I'm going to go get the prosthetics. Where's my wheelchair? Go now.
Go now. Oh, shit. That was Gary Oldman. I feel like I would never do this because I wouldn't besmirch Mr. Oldman's good name, or I wouldn't fuck with you in regards to Gary Oldman.
Uh-huh.
But I could just be like, oh, yeah. You remember this character from that movie? That was Gary Oldman. And just to see if you would buy it or not.
Oh, I probably would hook, line, and sinker now. Yeah. I'm totally in. I'm like, oh, shit. I truly believe that yeast is Gary Oldman.
He's in that yeast.
He's in that yeast. Shit.
I'm going to go to a church just to take communion. You know, this is Gary's body given for you.
This is Gary's body in the Church of Jack.
Yep.
This is Gary's body.
Uh-huh. Once I get that fortified compound and all that Kool-Aid, we pray to Gary here.
We pray to Gary.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. This is so fucking funny to me. So, Leon the professional, right? Right.
Yep, that's where we're at.
Oh, my God. So... More cops are there because he wants everyone, and they keep going in. And then you see that Leon is like suspended from what looks like in an attic or like from the, anyways, he's suspended from the ceiling and he's just taking out dudes. And then he's shooting and then he swings down like into the door frame,
yeah,
upside down, which was super cool. And he starts taking guys out, gets a couple bullets in the process, and then more keeps sending in, right? And Leon, gets a gun, though, to one of the SWAT guys' heads and was like, let Matilda go. And then he uses that guy kind of to arm himself, grabs an axe, he shoots the sprinklers, and gets his plant from the window. Because we're in a May Day here. And they are shooting in there. We got snipers from the other building that are shooting into the apartment. Holy shit, it's a mess.
Because when Norman Stansfield wants everyone, goddammit, he gets everyone.
Everyone. And so, what was this? Was this a vent shaft? Like what? Some kind of like, looked like what would be a vent at your stove, but it's like a shaft that goes through the building.
Yeah, just like starts chopping through the wall.
Yeah, starts chopping through the wall and gets to the shaft and he... gets her in there, but she's like, you can't fit here. You can't come down the shaft with me. I want to stay with you. And then they say their goodbye, which was so touching. And she, but he's like, I'll be better by myself. Get you to safety. I'll handle it by myself.
I'm going to clean them all.
I'm going to clean them all. I'll see you at Tony's in an hour. And he tells her, I love you, Matilda. I'm like, oh, God. And it's pure. It's nothing weird about it. It's just pure. These are two souls that have bonded who've never had anybody. Like, oh, God. Ugh. Sad again. So
I'm going to have to pick a movie that like there's no sadness in it at
right.
all next
we
week.
We need some light. We right. need some light here. Right. I thought the violence was going to be okay, but no, I need something else, I guess.
Again, when you start throwing some emotion into your violence, it's like, God damn, this isn't healthy. I should talk to someone that's not Jack about this.
Right? So
Jack, I'm a little fucked up. What should I do? I don't know. Watch a Gary Oldman movie.
Right.
But no, I'm really struggling here. It's like, you know the range of Gary Oldman? Like, he got the cure for what ails you. Gary Oldman in that medication.
You're such a fucking dope. And I love it. So,
I don't know if you consulted Gary Oldman about it. it's knee pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gary Oldman can fix that.
Yeah. Gary Oldman acts through knee pain.
You know, Gary Oldman is your knee pain.
Yeah. Did you know that while he was filming The Professional, Gary Oldman had a touch of arthritis in his knee? That's not true. The look that you just gave me were like, oh shit, really?
I was like, see?
No.
I was ready. I'm in full.
No. That's how good Gary Oldman is.
A glided
You're
sinker,
like,
man.
I knew he would have acted through that shit. That's probably why he yelled all the time. He was in pain. Probably was popping all those pills. Those are real pills.
Right.
Good for his knee.
He's getting that Celebrex.
Getting to that age, he's got to take some pills for low testosterone. Got that low T.
Low T. Fuck off with that. Can't say testosterone no more. Got to say low T. Like a bitch. Like the bitch you are because you ain't got testosterone pumping through them veins. Get out of here. Be a man. From a lady who has elevated testosterone. That's what that blood profile say.
Gary Oldman in that blood profile.
Gary Oldman in that tea. Yep.
Oh, your Gary Oldman levels are very elevated today. We should check this. No, no, no. My Gary Oldman levels are where I want them.
Gary Oldman's always where he needs to be.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so where are we? Where are we in this movie? We're right at the end, right?
It's
so
happening.
They've said goodbye, right? And she goes down the shaft, right, to safety. And then as soon as she does, Leon turns and he yells, ah! And then they send a bomb.
A fucking rocket launcher.
A rocket launcher into the apartment. And I love Stan radioing back like, I want you to get him out, not burn it, not burn the building down.
Yeah,
or something.
We need one guy.
Don't blow up the building.
Well, I mean, you did want everyone.
Oh, so.
Also, rocket launchers, very underutilized in movies nowadays.
I hardly ever see them.
Rocket launchers were all over the place in the 80s and 90s. Do they not make rocket launchers anymore?
Mm-mm, I guess not. The only time I hear about a rocket launcher is on Archer. I don't see them anywhere else.
There was, when I got married, we were in Vegas, and there's a place in Vegas where you can pay to shoot a grenade launcher and drive a tank over a car.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to do all of these things. We didn't get around to that place. We spent other time doing stuff. But next time I go to Vegas, I am going to shoot a rocket launcher. I'm gonna shoot a grenade launcher. I'm going to blow something up.
As you should.
Yeah.
As you freaking should.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
And as I pull the trigger of that grenade launcher, I'm just going to go, Gary Oldman! Thunk! Boof!
I please need to be there to witness this.
Did that dude just yell Gary Oldman?
You're fucking right he did.
You're damn right.
And if you didn't yell Gary Oldman, fuck you.
I think everyone should yell Gary Oldman when they fire a rocket launcher. Who? Everyone!
You douchekin. So they throw the rocket launcher into the apartment, and then they start finding their guys who are injured, and they find one of their SWAT guys injured but still alive, and they carry him out, and I'm like, oh shit, he Hannibal'd! I was like, he fucking Hannibal'd. Oh my God, I knew it. And so he's getting checked out by a medic, and he has him lift his mask up, and Stan sees him and knows that's him.
Yeah, that's Leon.
Because real recognizes real.
Jesus Christ. You did just say that.
I did.
Yeah.
But I was accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game recognizes game.
Game recognizes game. So Leon puts his mask down and he goes to leave. Meanwhile, Matilda has made it out with the plant. She's outside. She's walking by. She's getting through all the commotion. Like she's doing good. She's gotten it out of there. And Leon, oh my God. He sees the doorway. He sees
the literal light
at
the end of the tunnel.
Yes. And he's going, and then Stan gets behind him. Stan finds
appears
him.
Appears as he has in like every shot that he shows up in the movie, just almost like he materializes.
Yes.
That's how I imagine Gary Oldman actually enters a room. He doesn't just walk in. Gary Oldman just materializes.
100%.
Yeah.
I believe that.
You can sense. People around him sense when Gary Oldman walks into a room.
You sense a presence.
Yeah, they could just be mid-conversation. Hey, what did you do last night? Oh, did you go to try this new restaurant? I think Gary Oldman's in the room. Anyway, did you see the...
I think Gary Oldman's in the room.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
Clearly, I should never actually be in the presence of Gary Oldman, lest I want a restraining order filed against me.
Oh,
I could not control myself.
I don't think you could either.
I would break down.
And here's the thing. Like, you've been in radio for a while. You've met a lot of people. You've talked to a lot of people. Like, you have a good sense on your shoulders when it comes to being around famous people and people that you like. Right? Because you've been in the biz for as long as you can. But for you to be around Gary Oldman... would be just a different level.
It
would not be good.
No.
You would be bumbling.
For me or Gary.
No. And like, I believe in you, but you would be a bumbling idiot.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
It'd be a lot.
Yep.
It'd be overwhelming.
And don't get it twisted.
I think you'd shut down.
I would. And don't get it twisted. I would love to meet Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I had my choice of meeting one famous person or any person, it would be Gary Oldman.
Right.
Hands down.
Right.
Like, followed distantly, but my second choice would be The Rock.
Okay.
I love The Rock. I think he's a good dude, solid human person.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Gary Oldman, number one, top of that list without hesitation. Hey man, like anyone you, Gary Oldman, you didn't let me finish my sentence. I'm like, Gary Oldman, get Gary on a plane or get me on a plane to Gary. I'll go to Gary. Gary doesn't need to come to me. That's not the way this shit works. I will go to Gary. Mr. Oldman, Jack is in the air. He is on his way to you. Oh, good, good, good. Let's have some nice tea, assortment of desserts out for his arrival. I'm sure he'd like that. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. He's a big fan, you say, hey?
You just said, I will go to Gary.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a true story.
Gary doesn't come to me.
Nope.
I will go to Gary.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter at what time. I mean, during this podcast, like while we're recording this podcast, like, hey, Gary wants to meet. I'm on my way. Sorry, Leanne, got to shut it down.
Don't matter where you are, no matter how far.
Nope. Anytime.
You'll be there in a hurry.
Yep.
I will go to Gary. That's so funny.
Yep.
So, Gary... Stan materializes. It's so fucking sad because you can see Leon's relief of like, I'm making it. I've made it. I'm getting out of this. And then we get again how it was shot going through it. Just it, you get it from Leon's point of view.
Yeah.
Of him looking at that open doorway. And then you get a flash, like it's a flash that's coming from behind the camera, you know, but you just, and then the camera just gets shaky.
Yeah.
And falls to the ground.
Such a great shot.
Oh, and it's Leon.
Great POV shot.
So good. And so it falls to the ground and he was right there. He was right there.
So close.
And Stan rolls him over and stands over top of him. And Leon says, Stansfield?
At your service.
Oh, and he puts something in his hand. He puts it in his hand, wraps it up, and he says, "This is from Matilda." And when Stan opens his hand, it's the pin to one of the several grenades that is strapped to Leon. And Stan just looks at it and his face, and he just says,
"Shit."
And not even like a disgusted shit, but just like a revelation, like a shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit.
Right.
Like, you got me, bro.
All right.
And blows the fuck up.
Yup.
Oh, the pain.
Man.
God, it was so good. Oh, it was so good how they ended. And so, blow shit up. Then we go to Tony's. Thank God Tony's still alive. Stan didn't kill him, but he's beat up. He's beat up a little bit. And he's there with Matilda, and he offers to be the bank for Matilda. Right?
Yep.
Because Leon left her his money, so he'll hold it for her, and I'll dish it out for you time to time. Like, every month, I'll give you an allowance.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm like a bank, except I'm better than a bank, because, like, you know, no one knocks off Big Tony. You know, said the same thing to Leon,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But no, Matilda still wants to do work.
She wants a job.
Yeah,
She's a 12-year-old that wants a job, but Tony runs out of patience, and he throws her out. So what does she do? It's just her and the plant. Leon's best friend. And so she makes her way back to the school that she was going to, and she tells the lady that her parents had died, I think, in a car crash. Is that
yep.
what she said?
Yep,
and,
yep.
And the headmistress or whatever she is was like, you know, I never gave you much time, but I'm willing to help you and bring you back if you just stop lying to me. And then Matilda... And I thought this was going to go a different way, because she's like, well, my parents were killed because of drugs and blah, blah, blah. And that story's just so astronomical that I'm like, I thought the lady was going to throw her out like she was lying.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't.
No.
Welcomes her back in.
I mean, it was the truth. And she told her the truth.
Tells the truth about what happens. And so she goes out to the back yard of the school, or an open area of the school, takes Leon's plant. Because she mentioned earlier, she said, if this plant's your best friend, you should plant it in a park somewhere. So she goes and she gets a place for the plant and says, I think we'll be okay here, Leon. Damn it. And she goes to plant the plant.
And this might fuck you up a little bit. And I don't know if this was a conscious choice on the director's part or just a happy accident. Well, a sad accident, I guess. But someone pointed out that that type of plant will not survive in the cold.
Oh.
And they're in New York.
Oh, no.
So it's going to get cold.
It's going to die.
So that plant is going to die.
No.
Why, Jack Spade? Why have you done this to me? Why have you done this to me?
Oh, Jesus Christ. So, anyways, the camera pans back away. Great movie. That's the end.
That's The Professional.
Son of a bitch.
It was talked about for years that there was going to be a Matilda sequel.
Oh.
Where Natalie Portman, as she's older, you know, now she's an adult and she's a cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it just never materialized.
Damn, that would be good.
I would love to see that.
That'd be a cool movie.
Yeah.
Mm. I'd also like to see Stan become the corrupt agent that he was.
Want that prequel?
I want that prequel, too.
Yep. All right.
We need Tonto. We need Stan. We need Matilda. Yeah. We got lots on lock here for this series.
We do. We got the whole Professional cinematic universe.
Yep. The PCU, baby.
Everything has to be a cinematic universe.
Yes.
I don't know how we're going to get 23 movies out of it. Maybe we'll get a series about how the plant comes into Leon's care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tonto's got at least three in him, I feel like.
You think Tonto's got
a
trilogy?
I think Tonto got three.
Damn.
The Tonto trill.
All
the
right.
Tonto trilogy.
I think the second one will be the best of the three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Ton trilogy.
The second Tonto movie will really be the Winter Soldier of the bunch.
Oh,
I understand that reference now.
I get it. We're dumb.
Yep.
So anyways, that was The Professional.
I am fucking delighted that that you loved it.
Yeah, really good.
That's a 4 out of 5 movie for me.
I'm going to give it 4.25.
4.25?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah. What's our ranking system for this movie?
I will give it 4 everyone's out of 5.
Okay. And I give it 4.25 everyone's out of 5.
All right. That's legit. Well, I am. I'm. Like I said, I'm really, really glad you liked the movie.
Good 50th episode pick.
Thank you.
Great job.
Yeah.
You're doing really well over there. You've kept me corralled for 50 episodes. I'm so proud of you.
I appreciate it.
You're doing a great job. You're doing great, sweetie.
Well, and I feel, because now I almost feel a little bad because legitimately for the last 3 weeks, you've been a blubbering mess.
I've cried.
During these movies.
I've cried during all these movies.
I feel for your own emotional sanity. I really need to lighten it up.
It's okay. I drink, so I'm okay.
All right.
No, I'm fine. No.
Like alone in your apartment with plants?
We don't need to. No, I kill all my plants.
Oh.
I can't keep them alive.
Jesus. Way to go, Jack. You fucked that one up.
Fuck you.
I was saying the right thing at the right time. Man, what would Gary Oldman say in a time like this?
No, we're two stable people.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah. You regulate yourself with alcohol and sadness. I regulate myself with Gary Oldman.
Alcohol and sadness is Gary Oldman.
Also correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay, let's stop. What are we doing? We went dark. I don't want to go dark. Let's lighten it up.
Let's lighten it up with some good, clean comedy.
Okay.
You ready for
clean
a comedy?
Clean comedy.
It's, this is one of my... go-to comedies. Like if I'm in a mood for just pure funny haha,
okay,
this is a movie I go to, and I always get a little something out of it.
Okay.
I would like to introduce you to the Michael Keaton gem, Johnny Dangerously.
Okay. Never heard it?
Never even heard of it?
Nope, not that I know of.
All right.
Johnny Dangerously?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Kind of a send-up of like gangster, 1920s gangster flicks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in.
All right.
More gangsters.
These are the funny ones, though.
Okay.
If you find something that upsets you or makes you cry in this movie, I want to feel really, really shitty.
Now I want to find it. Now I want a single tear.
It was in the opening credits, Jack. You fucking monster.
I'm going to be that alien, that Indian on the side of the road with that one single tear.
Who wasn't even an Indian.
Was not.
Was Italian.
Because that's how Hollywood works.
Yep. Which, also in this movie, Leon is an Italian, but he's played by a French dude.
Right.
Yeah. Fucking Hollywood, you're so fake.
Right. I thought he was French, supposed to be French, and then I was like, oh, he's from Italy? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. Oh. You know who could probably pull that off better? Gary Oldman.
Yep.
So Gary, thanks again for meeting me. I just, like, here's the pitch, Gary. Every character in the movie is played by you. We've got 1,000 characters in this movie.
Look.
And they're all you.
If Eddie Murphy did it with that Klump family, like Gary Oldman should be doing it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And Gary Oldman, much better than Eddie Murphy.
I think Gary Oldman was Eddie Murphy playing the Klumps.
Gary Oldman was all the Avengers.
Fuck yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yup.
And Thanos. And guess what?
Yeah.
He played all 6 of the Infinity Stones.
He sure did.
Shit. How'd he get in that raccoon suit?
They fucking just shrunk him down to a raccoon.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Is he also the Pym particle?
Probably.
Hmm. I bet he was that rat that saved the universe.
Yep. Go through the credits. That rat, as played by Gary Oldman, playing himself.
In the quantum realm,
yep.
Gary Oldman.
Fucking A, that man can do anything. Anything.
Even warm your icy heart.
Yep.
You are such a simp for Gary Oldman.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
That is a true statement.
Oh, man.
Fucking hell, do I love Gary Oldman.
God, you love Gary Oldman.
I'm gonna have to figure out. Maybe we make episode 75. Maybe that'll be our next Gary Oldman Appreciation Day.
I say every 25, it's a Gary Oldman.
Ooh.
100th episode has to be Gary Oldman.
All right, if we make it there?
If we make it there. We're not supposed to, though.
Our 100th episode featuring Gary Oldman.
Oof.
Like, if we get Gary Oldman on the phone.
You put that on me a long time ago when we
yep.
did True Romance. I've not been able to make anything pan through.
You have 50 weeks.
Okay, bro.
That's almost a year.
Okay, bro.
And then I'm going to have you do all the talking.
Okay.
Because I'll just be
there.
You'll be there on the phone, and I'll just be like kind of hovering behind you, like what's Gary say? Like, can you smell him from here? What do you think he smells like? Just like, I mean, just from talking with him.
What do you think he smells like?
On the like heaven. Like a smell that you've never smelled before.
But you know what it is when you smell it.
Yep.
Like weed. Like mm-hmm. It's like
you know how when you're trying to get to sleep at night and you just can't, you're tossing, you're turning, but then you get to that one perfect position where the pillow just hits your head just right, and the bed contours your body, and like you are just in an absolute state of weightlessness.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman feels like that, doesn't he?
Yep. In fact, when I do that, when I get to that point, I like, you know, I roll over and I get to that point, and I'm like I just said, you know, just in that perfect, comfortable position, I just think I close my eyes and I smile and I say, Gary Oldman, and I drift off.
Night, Gare.
And then I wake up and the nightmare starts all over again.
Oh, shit. This has been entertaining for me, at least. Holy shit, has this been fun to hear.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Do love some Gary Oldman here at Huntsville Home Video.
What a fun day. What a fun episode we've had.
Right. Episode 50. We made it.
Yeah.
50 more movies to go.
Mm.
And then beyond.
I mean, a lifetime.
Honestly, if we do talk with Gary Oldman, I'm shutting it down after that because we will hit.
Oh, that's it.
There will be nothing greater.
I agree.
Yeah.
That would be the perfect way to leave it.
Right?
Yeah.
Man.
And he can just say, like, that's Huntsville Home Video signing off or some shit. Ugh. Powers off the VCR.
The last thing that the Gary Oldman guest appearance on Huntsville Home Video would say would be Gary Oldman saying, well, I certainly hope you have all enjoyed Huntsville Home Video. And I said, who should have enjoyed it, Gary? Everyone!
Y'all, it's aggressive hearing it, but seeing it is a whole different level on this everyone thing. You rare back. I'm surprised you haven't broken the chair. You've reared back. I see the roof of your mouth because you've reared back so far.
Gary Oldman pulling up the line at Starbucks. Hey, here's your large chai latte, Mr. Oldman. Oh, thank you. Here's a payment for that. I'd like to pay for everyone behind me in line, too. Who are you paying for, Gary? Everyone!
You just want to brown the building, motherfucker! Oh, my God! You are jacked!
Yep.
You are hype on this Gary Oldman shit.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh, my God. You just walked around the whole desk. Oh, my God. I'm
much
looking
like-
at the audio, and it's hilarious looking to me. You can see where you got in the middle, and then when you got back to my microphone, and then you left.
Because much like Gary Oldman, I commit.
You commit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes! Oh, standing ovation on episode 50.
Yeah, that was epic.
Well, it gets no better than that.
It do not, man.
We greatly appreciate you listening and for joining us through 50 episodes.
Holy shit,
and
bro.
We look forward for 50 more because Gary's going to be on episode 100.
Yeah, I'm try it. I got a year.
Like, I figure if we really put that out into the universe, like, we're going to hear from him.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually it pays off for us. Something's got to at some point.
Right?
Right?
We got so little to look forward to anymore. Like, that Gary Oldman thread's really the only thing keeping me going.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I get it. I get it.
So really, the podcast ends one of two ways, either with Gary Oldman or with a letter saying, you know, we appreciate the offer, but Gary Oldman is very busy and does not want to be on Huntsville Video. And then it's just like, fucking shut it down. Fuck, if it's not good enough for Gary, no one needs to hear it.
Yeah. No. Damn it. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, if you liked what you heard, we look forward to having you back next week where we will talk about Johnny Dangerously. Leanne will hopefully not cry. I won't yell everyone into a microphone 75 times.
Just do it once.
Okay.
Find a place to pepper it in once.
Okay.
I'll be super happy about that.
All right.
You do. Okay.
All right. Deal. In the meantime, give us a like, a follow on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at
HSV Home Video.
And also to our show sponsor, Underboss Photography, Underboss_Photography. Give them a follow. Give Michael a follow on Instagram. When I eventually meet Gary Oldman, if I can keep it together long enough, I would love to see the shots that Michael could put together.
Oh yeah, he could do y'all's pictures.
Yep.
Okay.
I would like to see it as a you know, those old JCPenney's ads. Mm-hmm. You know, like with the family portraits. You know, the two brothers maybe standing side by side, like the stepbrothers photo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was picturing more of an Elvis meets Nixon kind of thing.
Oh, that would be great,
right?
Too. Remember those old photos? They kind of ran their course in like the 70s, 80s, where it's like it's a picture of the front of the person and then the
silhouette.
Yeah, the silhouette looking the other way.
Yeah.
I just want Gary's face to be the front facing one and mine to be the silhouette looking.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's where it's at right there. Oh my God. We have so many plans for Gary Oldman.
Michael at Underboss Photography needs to make this happen for me.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Everyone needs to make this happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I'll try.
I think I could hold it together long enough to like at least be normal.
I think you could.
And then I just, you know, shit my pants afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Well, you said that's what you were going to do, that you would shit your pants.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how it'd go. We'll find out by episode 100.
I'll have everything padded for you so that we just easy cleanup.
Yeah. I'd probably go into that meeting with an adult diaper.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
I'll grab you some Depends on the way.
Yep.
Jesus.
Gary, just full disclosure, like, honor to meet you. I might shit my pants. Honor to meet you. But just know that going in.
Tape
like
your ankles.
This might tape your ankles. I get it. You don't want any seepage around Gary Oldman.
Right. No, yeah. It's really gonna tape your ankles.
I mean, I would die if, you know, I shit my pants in front of Gary Oldman. He was like, God, act like you've been there before.
Oh my God, this meeting with Gary Oldman's my favorite thing that's never going to happen in our lives.
Not with that attitude. Oh shit.
Oh my God.
Well, until next week, my friends, be kind and rewind. Everyone.
You know who should listen to this podcast?
Everyone.
Yell it one more time. Come on.
Everyone.
Oh, fuck.